Turn your Bible to chapter 10 of Daniel, please. And let's start. I found this article from the Barner Research Group that is headed by the George Barner. Many teens in America say that they have had experience that could only be described as a supernatural or spiritual. For instance, 7 million teens say they have encountered an angel, demon, or some other supernatural being. More than 2 million teens say that they have communicated with a dead person through medium practice. One-tenth have participated in a seance. This is scary, isn't it? One out of 12 has tried to cast a spell or mix the magic potion. 30% have had their palm read. 27% have read their fortune told. And 9% have consulted psychics. Nearly 2 million youth claim that they have psychic powers. Teens with a few friends or undergoing intense stress are more likely than the average teen to turn to witchcraft or psychic powers to cope with their feelings of vulnerability and insignificance. A lot of kids with a gothic mindset would turn into this kind of thing. Not just for the teenager in America, but also majority of people in the world are interested in some sort of occult paranormal phenomena that very much today. Hollywood movie industry is cashing this in, capitalizing. Good example was for a long time, they could not have enough Twilight Saga movies, right? You know, even the Christian got into that garbage. And one person told me that was such a nice love story. So I asked her, do you really consider it a love story when the person come around sucking the blood out of that person? But Word of God, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy says there's a life in the blood. So when the person sucked the blood out of the other person, that means that person is literally murdering. Do you still think that is a godly thing? It's a love story, mere love story. She had a look. So like, I don't have an answer. I know you're right, but I'm going to do it anyway, that look. It's not just a movie industry and number of television programs, newspaper column, magazine articles, video game manufacturers, and the book publisher, they are all hopping into this bandwagon. Unfortunately, bits and pieces of the truth about the demonic world mixed with the sensational stories and exaggerated remarks makes many people have a distorted understanding of the satanic realm. One of the most twisted is that they somehow make that this God barely pushing the satanic power, barely handling the satanic attack. Is it true? What do you think? Talk back to me. Yes. Loud.
Yes. Satan doesn't have any power unless God gives it to him.
Say it again, please.
Satan does have no power or authority unless God gives it to him.
He has a power. He has authority.
But he can only do it with permission from God.
Okay.
God is omnipotent, all-powerful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he has power over everything. Mm-hmm. See, you know, there's nothing that he can't control and do. So he's all-powerful, not just barely handling it. He's all-powerful.
Remember, guys, God is a creator. Satan is a creature. Creature cannot overcome creator. The teaching of the scripture on this subject stands a stark contrast in this misinformation. that is commonly accepted by the many people, even many Christian believers. Some of the biblical data about the demons are found in this chapter, and they are profound. By the way, have you ever encountered some denomination people said they're carrying conversation with the demons? It was influenced by the novel, This Present Darkness and the Piercing the Darkness. How many of you guys read that book? Mm-hmm. It's a good book. It's good, non-fiction good book. However, somehow, because of that book, one theology became very, very popular among the systematic theology people. There's angelology. Somehow they're putting a lot of emphasis on the angel. Angels are subordinate to God. They are doing the bidding of God without any rejection. Those who reject God's bidding and command, they are the ones who fell from heaven to earth. One third of them known as demons now. Am I making sense? Don't be confused. And do not worship angels. Nor should you pray to angels. I was passing by somebody and I heard, now you can pray to this saint. No, that was... I wish that you were one of my congregation, I would hit you upside of the head.
Do you think one of your congregation would say that?
Probably not, at least not in front of me. All right, let's stop and pray. Father, glorious God, you created all things from tiniest DNA to the biggest stars or planet in the universe. You hold the entire universe in your palm of your hand. Oh, Father, there's nothing can fight against you. There's nothing is too difficult for you. Father, yet you are small... Your spirit is small enough to come into our heart, reside in our heart, everyone's heart. It's impossible to comprehend. It is something we cannot understand. Your wisdom is unsearchable, is unfathomable, Father. Father, we are asking you to give us a little understanding for this study. Daniel chapter 10. Father, we pray that through this understanding, we may know exactly what you want us to learn. Open our heart, anoint our heart, and anoint the one who speaks. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 10. In the 30th year of the Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. He understood the message and had the understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24 days of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is Tigris, I lifted my eyes to look, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like a beryl, and his face was like an appearance of lightning. His eyes like a torches of the fire. His arms and feet are like a burnished bronze in color. And ladies, don't think about getting a tan like that. And the sound of his word like a voice of the multitude. I, Daniel, alone saw this the vision, and for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but the great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision. And no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me. And I retained no strength, but I heard the sound of his word. While I heard the sound of his word, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. According to some biblical scholars, this event happened around 335 to 334 BC. If Daniel was born in 420 BC, his age would be somewhere around 84 or 85 years old. In this first official, year, King Cyrus, what did he do? He gave a permission. He declared a permission for the Jewish exile remnant to, they can go back to the Jerusalem, build a temple, build a city. You guys remember that, right? And we studied for that portion the last time when we got together. While serving under Cyrus, Daniel received a message to prophesy a great conflict involving Jews and the nation of Israel. The prophet understood the message and apparently shocked him up bad, because the scripture states over the period of 3 weeks, he mourned and fasted and neglected his personal grooming in order to plead to God in prayer. In other words, he was interceding for on behalf of the Jewish people. He did not take a bath for 3 full weeks. I'm sure he was a stinky. 3 weeks, that's a short. When I was in the military, we went on for several months. In verse 4 through 6, yeah.
No bath?
No bath. One of the things that you are required to do is, before you go on to patrol, you are supposed to smell like a dirt, because the enemy can smell you. Yeah. If you have a soap, if you just use a soap, the fragrance from the soap, they can detect you before you even come.
You're blending in.
But if you haven't taken a shower in a month, I can probably smell you from down the road.
No, you don't smell, because you don't smell. No. I mean, human body odor, but in the surrounding and the environment, you don't smell. Mikey would know about that kind of thing. You know, he was in Vietnam War, so he understand that kind of thing. In verse 4 through 6, we find the description of a glorious man. It says his body was like a barrel. Webster defined a barrel as the transparent varieties in white, green, blue, yellow, and pink are valued as gems. I looked it up. They are pretty, very distinctive colors. And many biblical scholars think that this description is remarkably similar to what John saw in Revelation chapter 1, 12 through 16. And as he go up to the, when he went up to the heaven, he see that this stones around the wall. It's all shiny stones. But the Daniel's companion did not see the vision. However, they were terrified. This is like a latter instance. Remember when Apostle Paul at the time was a Saul of Tarsus. He was heading up to the Damascus to capture the Christians in Damascus. And the Lord knocked them off from his high horse, and he could hear, he could converse with the Lord Jesus, but the people around him, they could not understand. They just heard the voice. And this case reminds us that we can be close to the presence and the power of God, yet miss the message through the lack of spiritual understanding. Let's go down to the verse 10. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knee and on the palms of my hand. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the word that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, before your God, your word were heard. And I have come because of your words. Stop, please. I find the five important principles of prayer we should consider. Number one is a believer's prayer are immediately heard by God. Answer can be delayed. Prayer is not therapeutic exercise to comfort one's heart as yoga industry advertises. Have you ever seen people sitting with the leg crossed like this? I cannot do that. My leg will go sleep. And they put their hands like on each side of the knees. And they said, empty your mind. Do not empty your mind. You empty your mind, somebody will fill it up with something else. Okay? Word of God said, do not be filled with wine, but filled with the what? Spirit of the living God. Yoga, I don't care what kind. Some people say it was a Christian yoga. I don't care what you call it. It is basis coming from the Chinese philosophy that is nothing more than demonic things. Stay far away from it. I've seen some list of the activities churches do, and one of them is yoga. If you have to call it something that because you do a lot of stretching, good for you. I cannot do that. If I do that, I hear cracking sound. If you're going to do that, just call it fitness or stretch. Yeah. Not yoga. Prayer does not require poetic language, intelligent words, or other oratorical skills. If God can hear a child's simple and heartfelt prayer, He can hear anyone's. We are the ones who think we should not pray out loud in front of others because we don't want to be embarrassed for whatever reason are. In my opinion, that's a pride. If you can pray to God in a simple language, God is all for it. As long as it comes from here. Am I making sense? Whether you speak out loud so others can hear or not, if you speak from your heart, that's all it matters. Like Daniel, we have immediate access to God through prayer. However, as the next verse points out, we will not always receive the prompt reply to our petitions or prayer. Second thing I want to bring to your attention is that demonic forces can delay answers to prayer. Verse 13, please. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, note that, please, prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. I want you to note another word. Michael, one of the chief princes, okay? For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision referred to many days yet to come. Stop there, please. Because heavy resistance from the demonic princes of the kingdom of Persia, the answer for the Daniel's prayer was delayed on arrival. Okay. Another thing that I ask you to know is Michael, the archangel, also known as Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes. This gives us an idea about the angelic realm. They have ranks and files. Am I making sense? They are not all hanging around together and nobody knows who is in charge and there's no how to cascade the order. They do. Gabriel, we have three angels' names. What are they in the Bible? Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer. Not Satan, Lucifer at that time. None of them, no one else is known. Shouldn't we get to know them? No. They are not the creator. They are not our God. They are servants. as we will find out, they are servants like us. They are slaves like us. Mm-hmm. So don't concentrate on the angels. They have a higher ranking angels, and then at the same time, they have a higher ranking demons. And happened to be the prince of the kingdom of Persia, is he was in charge of the kingdom of Persia. Does this mean that God cannot respond to his believers' prayer because of the demonic forces? No. That's what the Hollywood and the Satan want us to believe. No matter whatever kind of tricks and resistance Satan and his court put out, our God simply override them and without any problem. However, God used delay for our character. Are you with me? Especially when we ask him to do something desperately. Answer is not coming. We have a lot of patience, don't we?
No.
You all have a great patience, right?
No.
I'm the only one who don't have a patience. Ranting and raving, and I ask God several times a day, and you guys never do that kind of thing because you are so much mature. Right?
Right.
Do you feel me? While we wait upon the Lord, when we continuously trust Him,
yes,
that's when our faith grows stronger. Against the circumstance, against the evidence, against the situation, we trust in God. That's when our character grows. Romans chapter 5, please. Verse 3. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only that, we also glory in tribulation, knowing that the tribulation produces what?
Perseverance.
Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. Another very important thing we must remember is that all the authority and the powers of the devil and his demons have been allowed by God for his purpose. There is not a thing they can do without God's permission. Where do I find that? Book of Job, chapter 1. You guys know this. Let's go there. Job 1. When I was a brand new Christian, I was very, very ignorant to the Bible. And when I saw this book, Job. Job 1:12. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay hands on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. God set the boundary, and Satan cannot pass. He doesn't want to pass. What if they pass? There's some demons who did that. And we're going to meet them in the book of Revelation. They are the one who came out of abyss. Bottomless pit. And they were there, and they were released during the end of the Revelation, and they did havoc on the earth. As we read in this portion of the scripture, there are ranks and the hierarchies within the heavenly angels and demonic realms. One more verse, Ephesians chapter 6, please. If we are going to talk about the spiritual warfare, we cannot visit chapter 6 of Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principality and against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. That heavenly place is not necessarily talking about heaven. Rather, he's talking about spiritual places. Very little of unseen spiritual warfare is revealed to us, and we should not try to know more than it is revealed about it. Because the demons can take our eyes off Jesus to wildly imagine a rabbit chase, and they would do anything for us to take our attention away from our Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody write a book regarding the spiritual warfare and they're quoting anything other than what the Bible says, you stop reading that book and toss it away. You with me? Third thing I'd like to bring it to your attention is wrestling in prayer is exhausting work. Daniel chapter 10, verse 15, please. When he had spoken such a word to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. The spiritual battle that believers wage can sometimes take a physical toll. Even so, we can readily agree that the fatigue is a small price to pay for curbing evil and furthering good. Again, go to Romans chapter 15, please, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together, underline that, strive together with me in the prayers to God for me. The Greek word for the strive is synagonizomai, where we get in our English word agonize. You and I to agonize in prayer. Real prayer. I'm sorry, my bad. There you go. Real prayer is agonizing, especially intercessory prayers is. It's getting through the barriers to release the spiritual powers. And the fourth things I'd like to bring into your attention regarding the prayer is following the worrisomeness time of prayer, our strength returns in extra measures. Daniel chapter 10 again, verse 16. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, and saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. Verse 17. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remain in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, one having the likeness of man touched me and strengthened me. In the epistle of the book of Hebrews, we learn that angels are ministering spirits, and who are sent by God to render the service for the sake of those who will still inherit the salvation. Even the Jesus Christ was strengthened by angel after he's going through the 40 days and 40 nights of temptation in the wilderness, right? And today, the Lord still uses his heavenly ministers, angels, to encourage us in our walk with Christ and protect us in our fight against the satanic powers. Don't think that because of some charismatic denomination teaches you, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Is that true? Is that true theology or not?
No.
Or I lose you in the they said, well, I lose my finance in the name of Jesus.
No. Even Michael didn't say when he went from Moses.
What did he say?
The Lord rebuke you.
That's as far as you go.
Yep, that's it.
Okay. If you need to say anything toward the angels, you pray to the Lord that he does it for you. Do you think we have any strength to do anything against the angel or even the demons? One angel killed 185,000 soldiers overnight. That would be equivalent to a nuclear bomb. Fifth point I'd like to bring to your attention is overcoming demonic forces is not once and for all matter. Daniel chapter 19. And he said, O men greatly beloved, I fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Verse 20. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you that what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one uphold me against this except Michael, your prince. Stop, please. The angel who brought God's answer to Daniel was said he's returning to fight the prince of Persia. And he would be succeeded and aided by the prince of another place, Greece. And I guess he's another higher ranking demons. However, angelic messenger assured that he would not leave in the Daniel until he get the vision. Conflict between God and Satan is still being fought today. Christ's death on the cross has ensured the satanic defeat, but it has not yet ended the war. However, we who are born-again Christians have God's promise that ultimate victory over satanic power is ours. You guys know this verse very well. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he than in me than he that is in the world. Again, 2 Kings chapter 6, we find the story of the amazing incident with Elijah. Syria king decided he's going to come after this Elijah who was giving all the intelligence, military intelligence to the Israel king in advance without having any spy in his kingdom. So he sent a big army, 185,000 soldiers, to surround Elijah's home. Can you imagine 185,000 soldiers? It was not that many. I'm sorry, I'm missing up two things. This gigantic military forces surrounding one person's home. And Elijah's servant woke up in the morning. I'm sure he's pulling his, scratching his eyes and walked out the door and he saw all these soldiers. I'm sure he was scared, came in, ran inside, and woke up his master. Master, master, we are doomed, right? And what are we going to do? What shall we do? Prophet responded with display of insight. And to his servant, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he asked the Lord to open his eyes, servant's eyes, and he saw chariots of fire. Four things to remember. Number one, if we could see the invisible, we would be amazed at the presence of good and evil forces around us. Why would God not show us that? This is talk back time.
Fear.
Fear. That's good. And?
I don't think we could handle it emotionally.
Okay. Good.
Maybe the tendency to rely on the angels.
The best answer I'm looking for. If we could see angels, probably from that moment we'll start to worship angels.
We rely on what we see.
Yes. Am I making sense to you? Do you know why Satan tried to dig up Moses' body in the book of Jude?
Created to distract the Israelites from so they'd worship.
Idol worship.
Moses worshiped Moses.
Do you know what was the first idol for the Israelis who came out of Egypt?
The golden calf.
No. Moses. Moses. They practically worshipped him and then switched to the golden calf, then switched back to Moses. Because our eyes trick us. Our eyes trick us. Our minds just follow what our eyes see. Second thing. Even if we are not able to see the invisible, we should be encountered by the invincible God, and Holy Spirit is within us. What the devil is not? You guys will laugh because some of them is quite silly. Devil is not nobody. He exists and is engaged in an aggressive strategy of the persuasion. He also is not a comic character. He is not a little imp that sits on your shoulder and with horns and pitchfork dressed in red tie and whispers something bad in your ears. Furthermore, he is not all-powerful like those Hollywood movies try to show. His power is formidable, without a doubt, but limited within the perimeter of God's permission. His influence is pervasive, but not omnipresent. Why do I say his influence is pervasive? Come on, talk to me. His influence is pervasive. His influence is everywhere. Yeah. Why is that?
Because
he has demons all everywhere. And then he has human cohorts. There are actually more human for the demons than the human for God. What the devil is, he truly is alive and well on the planet Earth. He relentlessly at work, invisible, deceptive, and brilliant. Adam serving under him is a power structure of the demons ready to do his bidding. He is anything but amusing. His work is wicked. His strategies are sinister. I like this reality show. No, not that kind of reality show. Title is Narco War. Discovery, no, isn't it? The National Geographic Channel showing all the history of how the narcotic from the Central America and Mexico, how it developed. Tonight, that thing I watched was Colombian War between paramilitary right wing and left wing guerrillas. The things they do to each other and the civilians, I cannot even imagine any human can do that kind of thing. But then again, I realize if I didn't have a Jesus in my heart, probably I would do the exact same thing. Don't think that you wouldn't. There's something very addictive. It's more addictive than money. It's more addictive than sex. It's more addictive than anything. It's known as a power. Once people get hold of that thing, because once you have a power, you can have all the other things. You with me? The paramilitary and the guerrillas fighting over who is going to control the drug trafficking. That means they get to have money. That means they get to have more guns. That means they get to have more power. That's how it works. Although Satan is the god of this world, he is limited in his authority. As a Christian, we should have no reason to feel afraid, victimized, or intimidated. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand up and pray.